Welcome to this Touch podcast activity that has been recorded for Touch Oncology. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team on the clinical challenges associated with paroxysmal nocturnal hemoglobinuria, or PNH. Specialists in the multidisciplinary team involved in caring for patients with PNH share their perspectives on the clinical presentation and diagnosis of PNH, explain the benefits and limitations of current and emerging complement inhibitor therapies for PNH, and discuss the impact of PNH on patients' quality of life. Financial support for this medical educational activity has been provided to Touch IME by an educational grant from Novartis. In this podcast, a hematologist and a patient with PNH discuss the experience of living with PNH from a patient's perspective and the impact of PNH on patients' quality of life.
Hello, my name is Professor Régis Peffaut de Latour. I'm the head of the French Reference Center for Plastic Anemia and PNH in Saint-Louis Hospital in Paris, France. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Jess Ratcliffe, that is a person living with PNH, and we will address and discuss the patient journey in PNH. So Jess, please, could you just recall for us your personal experience of living with PNH?
Yes, absolutely. So I was diagnosed with PNH back in 2016 when I was 25, about to turn 26. So it felt quite young. And really for me, my sort of outstanding memory of it is that it just came out of nowhere. It was very much unexpected. It felt like a sort of lightning bolt out of the blue. And it all started because about 12 to sort of 18 months prior, I'd had a sore throat coming back from holiday, thought it was very normal, thought it would all just sort of happen because I'd been on the plane and maybe fallen asleep. And, you know, the aircon on the plane sort of gives you a dry throat sometimes. But when coming back, I realized that the sore throat wasn't shifting, it wasn't going away. So I went to the GP and was put onto antibiotics first of all. That didn't do anything. And then it was penicillin. And that didn't do anything, which ultimately led to the curiosity as to why. And so long story short, that sent me to my local hematologist at the Royal Surrey, so in Guildford, to run some tests. And at first, the tests were sort of pointing towards low iron levels. And so I was given an infusion of what I remember, and I think this is accurate, at least this is sort of what I remember, this big bag of iron that was sort of referred to as 5 years worth of iron. And I swiftly got rid of that out of my system, which is what ultimately led to more curiosity and more wondering what was going on. Alongside this as well, I was actually in the process of moving to San Francisco for work. And so it was all a little bit rushed to kind of see whether we could crack it before I moved. And it was delaying my move a little bit. And so I was given that iron before moving. 2 months later, came back for my birthday and had already got rid of that iron, which has sort of led to the next tests. And then it was bone marrow biopsy, more blood tests, more curiosity. And then it actually ended up being that following Christmas when I came back for a visit from San Francisco that the diagnosis was discovered that it was PNH. And again, something I had never heard of. Because it was over Christmas, I was actually diagnosed over the phone and had to try and write that big, long paroxysmal nocturnal hemoglobinuria on a little post-it before then Googling what on earth this thing was and really starting that journey to understand how it was going to impact my life and potentially change my life with a lot of questions about what that might look like, especially at the age of 25.
Yes, thank you very much, Jess. I think what is outstandingly important in your history, obviously, it's the time that takes to do a diagnosis of a rare disease, the feeling that you have to feel alone with MDs, but also in family, because of course this is extremely anxious, being not recognized and not knowing the disease. Do you mind just to recall this situation and how long did it take to make the diagnosis in the end?
I would say it probably was around the 12-month mark to go from actually sort of digging in deeper to what they thought was low iron levels. And at times as well, there was like, maybe this is low B12. And I think particularly being a young woman at that time, like it kind of, well, hopefully still am, but youngish, but younger at that time, anemia and low iron is quite common. So I think it was very much pointed towards that because it wasn't immediately tested for because PNH is so rare. And I just remember that sort of length of time from especially being away in the States, that initial iron infusion, which would have been in like the February before I moved, to then actually being diagnosed in the January of 2016. So about that 12-month mark.
Yeah, this is what we are also experiencing in France. We appreciated this time being about 1 year now, which is outstandingly long when you're living with a disease that nobody knows that you have. And again, I mean, it's not to culpabilize our colleagues. I mean, it's a rare disease. It's difficult to think about, but it's just highlighting how important it is to really disseminate the main clinical signs that should make you think about PNH and to refer you to an hematologist. So then, were you treated and what kind of treatment did you get?
Yes, so I initially was put onto a fortnightly drug, and then I always struggle to pronounce these, but I'm going to go for it. Eculizumab was the first one. And that was, first of all, I had an infusion here in the UK, but because I was still living in the States, I actually went out and started treatment long-term over there. So I remember, because again, this was the scary part with that 12 months, I was flying back and forth to the States because I was working in San Francisco, but we had a London office here. And one of the big things that I learned about PNH is the risk of blood clots, and long-haul flights are obviously not super friendly to that risk. But getting out to the States, I got on the plane and had this also like big bag of blood thinning needles. So that was also quite an experience trying to get on a flight with all of this stuff that you're not typically allowed to take on flights. And I was on the fortnightly drug for about just over a year again until I actually moved back home in 2017 and was very lucky to then join a clinical trial, which ultimately was working on the drug that is now every 2 months rather than every 2 weeks, which in itself is just such a game changer for both sort of how you think about PNH and being somebody with PNH. I went from having to get this drug every other week and it being very much on my mind all the time to now every 2 months. I feel there's almost this little bit in between where I actually forget that I've got PNH, which feels like a real luxury. And so that's the drug that I'm on now.
Yeah, I think your experience is very important and very updated because you could benefit from clinical trials to increase this time between two injections. Could you please go back to this change when you were treated? In other words, when you got this eculizumab treatment, did you feel better? And on another point, was this, and you told us, logistically difficult, but with this organization, did you feel only logistical problems or there were still some medical problems going in, fatigue or pain or whatever? Could you just elaborate on this, please?
Yes, absolutely. I remember getting that first drug and just feeling such a difference. I think I hadn't realized how fatigued I was because I'd been so used to like operating at that level, not knowing that I should really be feeling any different. And I remember I would just put it down to the fact that when I was working in London, and San Francisco changed this a little bit because my commute went from being like an hour and a half there and an hour and a half back to being like a 15-minute walk in the sunshine. So that was quite helpful and a difference in terms of the energy levels. But my big memory was really that as soon as I received that first infusion, that first drug, it was just such a shift in almost like clarity of mind. It really got rid of the brain fog that I'd been feeling and hadn't been able to pinpoint why I'd been feeling it or how long for, but also just my energy. It really felt like it conquered the fatigue that I'd been feeling that, again, I'd sort of become used to. But it was only when receiving that drug that I realized, oh, like this is how I should be feeling. This is the sort of energy I should be having. And the only sort of dip I would feel leading up to my next infusion, and I still feel it now, actually, it's I have my next infusion on Monday. So I'm in the week leading up to it. And I always leading up to my treatment will feel that dip. And it's a real sense of, again, like brain fog, fatigue. And when it was a fortnightly drug, I'd feel that maybe 3 or so days leading up to it. But when it's the 2-monthly drug that I'm on now, I typically feel it a week or so into receiving the drug itself. And then I always sort of refer to it as my superwoman juice, because as soon as I get it, I then feel back to normal and I feel like a sort of recharged Duracell bunny. But in that dip before, you really start to realize when the fatigue and brain fog takes hold that you do have this thing, and the drug kind of corrects me.
Thank you, because it's really illustrating very well that the progress from no treatment then to eculizumab every 2 weeks and now ravulizumab every 2 months. Basically, the last question that I have for you is what we could do more in the future, how we could improve more your quality of life. What do you like more to be treated with? In other words, what is your best and ideal future for you now?
Good question. I think the first thing that comes to mind is really somehow being able to not have this week where there is the dip, and almost whether that is simply shifting the cadence of treatment from the 8 weeks to maybe 7 weeks, just to miss that dip in fatigue. Like, that in itself would be quite a game changer to me, because I wouldn't then have to be adapting what I do and sort of what I have energy for, I guess, in that week leading up to the treatment. That's the sort of number one thing. And then, honestly, nothing else immediately springs to mind, because I feel very lucky to even have treatment for this. I think because it is so rare and PNH is so, yeah, incredibly sort of, there's only a few of us really that have it. I feel incredibly lucky that the drug has even progressed from the fortnightly to the 2-monthly in itself. Like, if I was still on the 2-weekly or the fortnightly drug, it just would feel still very on my mind all the time. You're always thinking about, okay, I can't do that on that day because I've got this. You know, it's very close. Whereas with 2 months, it feels it gives you a bit more space to actually live as if you don't have PNH. And so the number one thing, if I kind of could crack anything or hope for anything, would be that it would reduce that dip where I actually feel the brain fog and the fatigue. Because then if I wasn't to experience that, I almost wouldn't feel like I have PNH at all, other than having to get the treatment every so often.
Well, thank you very much. I think that your history is illustrating very well the medical progress from a disease that was devastating, with thrombosis events and high risk of death, from a disease that we have injection every 2 months. You also illustrated very well that we need to continue the progress in medicine and to try to find some treatment that are more efficient, more convenient. But anyway, thanks a lot. I was very pleased to discuss with you today. And congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Oncology at www.touchoncology.com. Don't forget, there are 2 other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.